It's time for the Phenology Show. From Oscar Forsman to Bella Fleck, we slide our way into phenology. And we are moving into the summer month. The summer months, I guess. We should be generous and give ourselves a bit more time. The month of June, typically a rainy month, and coming to an end here. We are at the 25th today, and thus far this month, I am up over 3 inches of rain, including 1.14 inches in the last 3 days between Saturday and yesterday, or actually this morning. We had 1.14 inches. So a nice soaking rain over a long period of time, not a heavy downpour throughout, although yesterday afternoon it rained pretty hard while I was out trying to run my chainsaw. I finally had to give it up and duck under the protective cover of my woodshed. So always glad to see a bit of rain this time of year. It certainly helps, especially with the mosquito population. I was having a conversation with Harvey Jader the other day because I was mystified by a plant located in his neighborhood. It turned out to be something called New England tea or New Jersey tea. And it is an interesting little flower in a cluster, a white cluster, about, oh, maybe 2 inches, inch and a half across, and growing on a kind of a woody stem. Anyway, I talked to Harvey, and he mentioned, as is the case with me, mosquitoes are sort of just an incidental occupational, I wouldn't even call it a hazard. It's just something that happens while you're working. And they have been noticeable, but certainly not overwhelming. I did have one occasion this past week where I was in a chamber where they were especially virulent, and it was possible without a lot of effort in there to kill quite a few with the act of rubbing one hand over another was enough to probably kill a dozen or so. So it keeps a guy, you know, alert and gives him something to think about while he's doing other things. Harvey sent along a quick list of some things that he has been observing in the northern parts of the state, including, and these plants were all seen in flower, showy mountain ash, buckbean, cuckoo flower, which is a very rare plant and grows kind of low to the ground, got an odd sort of a leaf arrangement that makes it a little bit unusual. 4 white petals on that flower that are wider in the middle than they are at the base. And reading in the website last night, the cuckoo flower is known only in about 10 places in Minnesota, and most of them are in the northern part of the state and usually found in deep, cool bogs and black spruce forests. So if you have been very, very observant and perhaps a bit lucky at the same time, you may have run across the cuckoo flower. It is one unusual flower. To continue Harvey's list, blue flag, tall northern bog orchid, spotted coral root, Canada anemone, blue-eyed grass, balsam, ragwort, bastard toadflax, and Indian paintbrush. So a number of plants that Harvey's run across. I have growing on my native prairie on the back of my house, golden alexanders, and the New England asters are quite tall right now, but not absolutely, and there's no flower buds on them. Speaking of flower buds, I noticed yesterday that some of the common milkweed flower buds had formed, and checking out the common milkweed, you'll probably see some examples of herbivory, that is, some of the leaves have been eaten, and that generally is monarch caterpillars. And yesterday we found 2 different monarch caterpillars, one probably a half inch long, And another one that was much smaller, probably just, you know, one or in the first or second instar of its life. And so it was about a quarter of an inch long. And so their monarch caterpillars appear to be doing pretty well. I see lots of eggs on the milkweed plants, and I'm hoping that we will have a nice, healthy population here of monarch butterflies in the next short period of time. Also, speaking of insects, last week on, I think it was Wednesday, I was up at the Masaba Co-op Park in just a little bit east of Hibbing, where Highway 5 runs north towards Chisholm, I think. At any rate, the calico pennant dragonflies were crawling up out of the water, the nymph stage, the larval stage in the water that eventually evolves to become the adult stage. That was happening last Wednesday, and there were huge numbers of these beautiful dragonflies crawling out and breaking out of their nymph stage bodies. And one of the amazing things for me when I look at these things is if you look at these nymphs, and if you look at any lakeshore, you're going to find these sort of hollowed out husks of insects that are just this little chitinous shell that has nothing inside. And those probably are the result of a transformation of dragonflies. Look at the back, and you'll see a split in it. That's where the dragonfly crawled out. But to me, the most interesting thing are these four tiny pockets. Pardon me. And these are, they're at most a quarter of an inch long. And in the case of the calico pennants, they were probably less than a quarter of an inch long. Very, very small pockets on the backs of these nymphs. And in those pockets are the wings. And the dragonflies crawl out, and their wings then are sort of filled with a fluid, which expands them, and then they sit for a while, and that hardens, and they withdraw the fluid, and the veins harden, and the wings are then set. And so it's a pretty remarkable event. I was telling the kids that I'd actually witnessed a similar event long time ago with my wife. We were traveling on the Big Fork River, and dragonflies were coming out in the same way, climbing up the grass early in the morning and then drying and proceeding to fly off later in the day. And it was an absolutely stunning event. So if you've been lucky enough to see something like that, count yourself among the blessed. That is a truly unique experience. White Admiral butterflies showed up for the first time this past week. This is if you're just a casual observer, a big black butterfly with a big white band through its wings. And that is the White Admiral. It is migratory and shows up here typically this time of year. It was 4 days late, so pretty close to average for that one, but not always the case for many of the insects and plants that we're seeing. Blue flag, the blue iris, is blooming in huge numbers right now. It's beautiful and readily seen on any kind of marshy shoreline. There are lots and lots of blue flag iris out there right now to be seen. Red in the woods, red baneberry, red clover, orange hawkweed, the one sometimes called the devil's paintbrush. This is one that if you live next to a farmer, he is hoping against all odds that you will cut these down and not let them reproduce, because they can be really bad for hay fields. They get into hay fields and then the cows don't want to eat the hay. Orange hawkweed, bright Two-toned orange flower, about 3/4 of an inch across. The outside is a deeper orange. The inside is the color of an orange, the fruit orange. So look for those. And if you have them in your yard, yes, they're lovely, but they should be controlled. Don't let them get away. White campion is blooming. This is a moth pollinated flower, a big five-petaled white flower that grows a swollen calyx, it's called, a swollen seed pod right behind the flower. And it is, wow, it was like 2 weeks late for the first blooming of the white campion this spring. And it is out there right now and should be getting riper as time goes by. Black bindweed, another plant that probably, well, to my eye, it seems to really be infesting the area. There seems to be lots of it. You're going to see a cluster of tiny, tiny, tiny white flowers, less than 1/8 of an inch across. And there are going to be dozens of them in these little clumps. And if you start searching it out, you'll see a reddish stem that is twisting and curling its way up on some other plant. It climbs other plants as a way of getting up into the sun, and hence the name bindweed. Lady ferns are just starting to develop their sori, their spore-producing bodies. The cinnamon fern is probably at its peak. The sori are probably the most mature right now. And the interrupted fern is pretty much done with its spore production. And the interrupted fern is that fern. Look at the frond. You see this long frond, and there are leaves. I'm using the term loosely here. They're actually called pinnae, but the leaves below, and then an interrupted space in the middle where you have these dark structures, which are the spore-producing bodies, and then more leaves, more pinnae above. And so the fern, the stalk of this interrupted fern is just that, interrupted. So it's a pretty easy one to recognize. Early coral root, bright yellow. Welby Smith in his book Orchids of Minnesota describes the coral roots as parasites of a fungus. And you don't often think of a fungus as, you know, something to be parasitized, but in the case of the coral roots, they don't produce much chlorophyll. The early coral root may produce a little, but the spotted coral root and the striped coral root produce none, and all three survive by stealing energy from a fungus that they combine with in the soils. The Canada columbine, that red five-petaled, five-topped flower that everybody learns by the name honeysuckle because of the honey that's in the tops of those little tubes, but it is, in fact, columbine. And that is in bloom and probably at its peak right now, and that puts it about 2 weeks behind its general peak of bloom. Bluebead lily is kind of getting toward the end of its growth period. There are fewer and fewer flowers available to see on the bluebead lilies. Bunch berries, those big four-petaled white flowers, big inch and a quarter maybe, white flowers, low plant, usually not more than about 6 inches high, and these things kind of grow in big groves, and so you'll see these big patches of white flowers, four-petaled white flowers that are bunch berries, and those are probably at their peak. And another white flower that is also in big patches and frequently seen along the edges of roads is one called Canada anemone, and the Canada anemone has 5 petals. And so bunch berries, usually shadier woods, Canada anemone in the ditches, and both are big white flowers and pretty obvious right now, both near their peak of bloom. So check those out and enjoy them. You may be lucky enough to have a catalpa tree in your yard, or you may be lucky enough to have a black locust. Either one, they are not native to this part of the state, but will grow here quite nicely, and both of them are in flower right now. The black locust is a member of the legume group and has flowers like peas, and the catalpa has just these big, I don't even know. It's probably a pea. It's probably a legume as well, and a member of the pea family. But it has these monster, big threaded flowers that are gorgeous with pink stripes, white flowers with pink stripes. If you have a tree in your yard that is adorned with an incredible number of big white flowers right now, it is probably a catalpa, and it is one wonderful tree to have in your yard. When they're in flower, they are absolutely stunning. Common lilacs are getting toward the end of their bloom. Most of the ones I'm looking at now are already done blooming, but there are still a few that are kind of hanging on and showing off some last flowers. The red maple and the silver maple have been dropping seeds in the last week, so you're probably seeing a lot of seeds laying on the ground. The interesting thing about the red maple is that its seed, as soon as it hits the ground, if it falls in an advantageous spot, it's going to start growing. So it doesn't have to sit there for a year and sort of get itself ready to grow. As soon as that seed hits the ground, it's going to start growing. And by the end of the year, you may have small maple trees showing up. Water arum is about done. Birdsfoot trefoil has begun to bloom. Birdsfoot trefoil, yellow flowers along the edges of roads, kind of planted by the state to help hold soils and fix nitrogen into the soils. So it's kind of necessary or advantageous to have it around. But it too can become a bit of a problem if it starts crowding out the native plants. Thimbleberry. If you live along the shore of Lake Superior, or if you have access to a few odd spots here in the central part of the state, you may have thimbleberry growing. And thimbleberry has these big, big leaves that look like maple leaves, except they're like, I don't know, the size of a pie almost, certainly the size of a pot pie. They are quite large leafed and big five-petaled white flowers. You might first impression might be, blackberry, but they are not blackberry, and the flowers are not quite like the blackberry, just a little bit different. So thimbleberry is blooming. Goat's beard began to bloom this past week, and that was 16 days late. I saw a dead crow on the road the other day. And this time of year, as the crows begin to fledge and start to learn the ways of life in general out in the wilds, a few of them end up as roadkill. And the reason it's noteworthy is that it doesn't happen very often outside of this time of year. And it's amazing over the years that I've been observing them. It's always late June that I begin to see a few dead crows along the edges of the roads. And then the rest of the year, I almost never see a dead crow or a dead raven. They learn very quickly about cars. And once they become familiar with cars, they are not likely to get run over anytime soon. So keep an eye out for those. Maybe you'll see a dead crow or two. Yesterday, while I was out with my sister and my wife and my brother-in-law, and we were kind of bouncing around in the Pennington area and looking at showy lady slippers, which are right now just approaching their peak of bloom. We saw a lot of buds and a lot of open flowers. So if you are in the mood for a hike into a bit of a wet area, start looking for the showy lady slippers. They are certainly out there and well worth the trip. They are quite, quite amazing. While we were doing that, we came across the hummingbird clearwing moth, which is a mimic of the hummingbird. Flaps its wings at 30 times a second, it gives off an audible hum, which is what you're likely to hear. And if you're not paying close attention, your first impression might be hummingbird, but it is a moth. And these moths do the same as the hummingbird. They are searching out nectar from flowers, and they buzz from flower to flower. They're quite tame. You can get pretty close to them without them becoming too alarmed. And you may get a chance to get a nice little photograph of one of the hummingbird clearwing moths. And what else? Well, I guess the last couple of notes. Oh, the round-leaved pyrola. And I've posted a picture on the KAXEKBXE Season Watch page of the round-leafed pyrola, a beautiful flower in the forest, in the shade. And the leaf of the pyrola is evergreen. And I learned, somebody asked if it was an orchid, and I did a little research and found out that the pyrola actually belongs to the family Ericaceae. And the ericaceous shrubs are those that you find in the swamps, and those would be leatherleaf and Labrador tea and some of those. And the pyrola belongs to that crowd, so it's kind of interesting. The other plant I found in the Pennington area was wild parsnip, a big disc of tiny yellow flowers, and this plant is a danger to you and to just anybody in the woods. If you touch the plant, if you rub up against the plant, it increases your sensitivity to sunlight and you will blister as a result. The sun will cause blisters on your skin. So if you have these plants, they have a sort of a divided leaf, a bit like a marijuana leaf, long, narrow toothed leaves, and the wild parsnip, big clusters of bright yellow flowers at the top, tiny flowers, multiple flowers in a cluster, wild parsnip. If it's near your house, put on long sleeve shirt, put on gloves, and rip it from the ground and get rid of it, because it is a dangerous and invasive species. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Thanks for tuning in, and we will talk again next week.